Well, welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, the basics of calendar management, part one of two. Hi everyone, this is Mike, and welcome back to Manager Tools. During today's cast, we describe the first of our recommendations about calendar management. Now, we spend a lot of time talking to executive clients about how they spend their time and how they manage their priorities through their calendars. Now, several times over the past couple of years, we've talked about how when we start coaching an executive, we ask for two things almost immediately. First, an accounting of what they consider their priorities, and second, a printout of their calendar. Now, you got to guess where this is going, right? They almost never match, except with CEOs and COOs. Now, how do you think they got there? Well, if you're thinking manager, you're not asking why, but rather, what can I do to avoid that? Well, there are a few simple rules that get the most effective executives, thanks to Mr. Peter Drucker, started off well, and they start with thinking a week at a time. Here we go, folks. I was just thinking the other day about how many times we've caught ourselves saying time management and then immediately, I mean, priority management.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a billion times for me. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
At least a billion for me. But you know, it's really easy to slip into that phrase. We hear it so
all
often,
yep,
that we start using it in our vernacular. And of course there's a real danger. The more you say it, then you start believing it. And,
right.
You know, as you know, we're constantly saying time doesn't respond really well to management. It's been it's got along for millions of years perfectly fine by itself.
Every once in a while, I listen to one of our podcasts and I hear a phrase that we use that you and I take for granted. And I think, gosh, how do people tolerate us sometimes? I mean, technically, it is accurate to say there's no such thing as time management. It's almost, I don't know, it would be a little bit irritating. I find myself saying it an awful lot. On the other hand, that's one reason why we love getting things done so much, GTD. David Allen talks about managing the work, about wrestling with priorities and going through one's inbox. Even though whenever anybody asks me about time management, I say David Allen and getting things done, right? I think we did that last week.
We love David Allen, both of us. So I would never say anything negative about David.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But Peter Drucker was really way ahead of his time there.
Yeah. And what Drucker said, I think Drucker and Allen basically agree. Allen says, look, do the work. He doesn't, I mean, people talk about getting things done as a time management tool, but it's not a time management tool. It is to most people. It's just a label they're applying to it. It's a work management tool. It's very, very effective. We love it. But Drucker basically said, look, the second chapter of The Effective Executive is called Know Thy Time. And he suggests we start with a survey of how we spend our time and then make sure the right things are being done when we're working. Because he says, look, the definition of effective is almost the same. Effect is almost the same as execute, which is to make things happen. And the question is, what are the right things? So he suggested measuring how one spends one's time, but he doesn't say you should manage time. He simply says you should be clear about what priorities you're doing in the time that you have, because man is all done and never really started manufacturing time.
So. Right. And we've already done a cast on measuring one's use of time, and
right,
it'd be well
right.
worth it for folks here to go and do that. But that's not what this cast is all about. So we're going to talk about the week, and I say week, of an effective executive.
Yep, that's right.
And let me make one additional point there. And I don't know, you can tell me how you feel about this, but from a Drucker sense, almost everybody listening to our podcast right now is an executive, whether they be a manager
or
an executive kind of in today's term, or even in a lot of cases, individual contributors who are doing a lot of knowledge work.
Right. Drucker's definition of an executive, I think there are people who think of it as being senior people in large organizations, but Drucker would argue that. When we say executive, particularly in this situation, we're really talking about people who are either knowledge workers or who use creativity, innovation, and so on. In other words, not physical labor in order to produce results. So you're right. Executive here really has a very, very broad context.
Exactly. Okay. So since we're talking about time or priorities here, let's respect our listeners' time and get right to it. So how are we going to go through this?
Okay. Five recommendations. Very simple, very straightforward. A couple will surprise people, and they are, number one, family comes first. Everybody misses this one. Everybody misses it.
Yeah, everybody. I'm sure everybody's shocked that you said that. But
yeah. Yeah, we work, you and I are both known, we work very, very hard, and family comes first. Number two, schedule time for email. Number three, nail down your strategic objectives in your calendar. Number four, block out one-on-ones. You got to get those done. And number five, network building lunch.
Excellent. Okay, five things. So let's talk about the first thing. What's our guidance about family?
Yeah, I really do.
We don't want to talk about family planning here, but let's talk about time and family.
Right. Now we know people really are shocked, right?
Right.
I think people are shocked a little bit. I think very few people would profess to be shocked, but many would admit right now that they didn't expect it to be our first recommendation. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I think when the vast majority of managers think about time and priority management, their first tool is more, right? More time at the office, more time spent working at home, more multitasking, although they can't do that. You know, doing work while they're cooking dinner with their wife, for example, or husband, you know, more email late at night. And as we've alluded to in our Juggling Cohen podcast, more is very, very rarely the answer here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you start talking about priority and time management, and certainly time management, people say, well, I want more time. It's like, and Bill Gates even said once, I wouldn't gamble for more money. I'd gamble for more time. I'd be happy to bet $1 billion on, you know, having an extra week or two, to get more stuff done. But you're right. More is the big fat word in managers' heads, I think, when it comes to time and priorities. We understand it, right? It'd be great. But it doesn't make much sense to want more time to try to get more done when everybody complains already about working too much. And boy, that certainly is a refrain we hear a lot.
Well, yeah, it goes back to the whole definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, which is how people have attacked this problem for a long time.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I think that as people grow in their jobs, they think, well, I'm just supposed to do more. And you could almost make a case, an alien coming down looking would say, gosh, it seems pretty clear you guys get paid by the hour, because the more, except at the very, very top, like chairman and CEOs, because everybody just, when they get a bigger job, they think, well, I should do more. I should work more. I should have more time. I should do more email. And it is simply wrongheaded. And if you've been in a larger organization, even small to mid-sized organization, but let's say not a 5-person organization, and every time the organization has grown, you've done more, and you're still frustrated, then that'll prove to you what, you know, the definition of insanity is, Mike says. So, okay, look, but before we go any further, we get into the family first piece. Let's be clear here about what we're doing with this cast. We've observed many, many executives, those who effectively manage their priorities into their limited time, and those that try everything and never get anywhere or are always distracted, always get some stuff done, right? Everybody's always getting some work done, but the issue is not the big stuff. And we've learned that while there is value in thinking about each day, in fact, I want to say Dale Carnegie wrote a book called Stop Worrying and Start Living. And chapter 1, 2, or 3, one of them was Live Your Life in Watertight Compartments, seeing each day as a watertight compartment. Look, I can't go back and retry yesterday, right? Yesterday's done. Put it to bed. Any feelings you have about yesterday are probably wasted unless you're going to apply them differentially in the future. So even though there is value in thinking about each day, and they certainly lay out well on the calendar, thinking about managing your priorities a week at a time, as opposed to daily, is the most effective way we've seen to help you stay strategic while still getting stuff done, day-to-day stuff, and therefore be effective.
Most managers think in days, right?
But they end up
trying to schedule way too tightly, and then things break down once they start not to follow their own calendar, right?
Just like last week, didn't we have somebody say, oh, yeah, I'm triple scheduled? Talk about a big fat joke, right? I think I actually told a client once, I may have told more than one client, you know, you're not the president of the United States. The president doesn't get triple scheduled.
He or told every client that.
Right? I'm sorry, you're not that important. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, then on the other hand, you have some managers and executives who think, you know, they think it makes sense to think in months. But, you know,
yeah.
But there's just too much to get done. And we find that day-to-day crises keep these folks from staying on track. The gap between the day in which the work gets done and the month in which they're thinking about their work,
yes,
it's just too big a gap. You can't keep everything in your head well enough to handle all those daily distractions and changes.
Yep. That's a great way of putting it. The gap between where you're actually doing your work, which is today and feels like today, and the month, which is how you think about your time. I have a friend, and we were talking, and I said, you know, this is important. Let's remember this snapshot. Right. That the idea to have a snapshot, most managers think of a day as a larger snapshot. But you've got to be clear about your priorities. And if you make your priorities, if you try to arrange those over the course of a month, it's too far away from that snapshot. And good snapshots are priceless. If you do that well, if you manage each hour well, or if you do well during the day, but you're trying to keep all that straight over the course of a month, you're right. The gap is too much. The doing versus the thinking about is too wide. The week is basically the measure of time that most effective executives, use that word executives broadly, that we know of, is what they use to connect their daily tasks, their efforts on a day-to-day basis, on task sort of stuff, which is, it all boils down to tasks, the way they connect their daily tasks to their strategic priorities.
That was really good. So that bears repeating again, I think.
Well, then I'll repeat it. The week is the measure of time that most effective executives and managers use to connect their daily tasks, because that's what this all boils down to, it's tasks. It's what they use to connect their daily tasks with their strategic priorities.
Yeah, good. Okay, so now let's get back to the family first point.
Right, okay. So within the construct of a week, thinking about if I have a block of time that I'm going to be making sure that my big stuff gets done, rather than thinking in days, which is too small a window, and rather than thinking strategically in months, which is too big to keep it all in your head, we've got this week in our head. Once you accept a week as the playing field, if you will, then you're saying, okay, how do I manage that week, my priorities within that week, so the week accurately represents where I'm going and what I'm doing. In other words, Could a consultant, could Mark or Mike come take a look at my week's schedule and say, aha, that's a good snapshot. There's a snapshot that really encapsulates what I want to see long term in this relationship, particularly if we're talking about, a boss as opposed to a consultant looking at the situation. A day is too short. A month is too long. That week really gives us enough to hold on to. Okay. So, when we say family first, it's not unusual for me to get a very funny look from executives. It's disappointing how many folks miss this. But let's do this. We've been dancing around a little bit. In the interest of bottom line up front, here's our recommendation. You schedule time for your family with your family first. It is the first thing you do when you look at every week. We'll talk specifically about how to do that in just a second, but let's understand the rationale behind it, okay? Your family is more important than work. Everybody says that. It's a joke when we ask the question of a small group that we're coaching or a larger group that we're training. Everybody agrees family's more important than work. Fine, great, okay, whatever, okay? Rather than applying the concept of giving the right amount of time to the right priorities only at work, right? We recommend applying the principle to the boundary between work and family. the whole idea of more that we were talking about a little bit ago is almost, in my opinion, a weapon against families. We don't need to go into all the reasons why, but somehow the safety valve when we say more work is just stepping on family time. But basically, all of us know it. It's one of the reasons all of us complain about it, or so many people complain about it. It's penny wise and pound foolish. You might get more work done that day, but you're eroding something that will essentially cut your dividends long term. We ask groups we're working with every single time how many of them value family more than work. Everyone says they do, but unfortunately, behavior is believable. And what's believable is that if I'm an alien, if I'm a consultant and I'm looking at the schedule, I'm saying, gosh, it's pretty clear family takes second place to work. Not first, but second.
Yeah. Too many managers and executives live as if their family comes second because they're always willing to take time away from the family by working longer hours or doing email late or constantly checking email and voicemail, leading to attention attenuation, which is a relationship drag if there ever was one.
Yep, exactly. So look, if you're going to say and believe and then really live, if you say and believe it but you don't live it, then you really don't believe it. You could say it all day long. But if you're going to live the family first concept, you've got to get that first priority, your family, reflected in your calendar every day. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to suggest, I think there are people out there right now, Mike, who are worried about, what about my nightly email bits?
Right.
Okay. We're not going to suggest, folks, that everyone stop checking mail every night. Oh, we think it's a good idea, but we know what will work and what won't work. We know that many of you simply won't do that, stop checking email at night. And frankly, we don't see that as the problem anyway. That's not the root. What we're going to recommend is an action that is based on the root cause of that behavior.
Right. Sloppy scheduling and lack of respect for time and priorities.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Yeah, that's the reason why people are doing email late at night is because they're not being crisp about scheduling and they don't respect their priorities relative to the limited time that they're that everybody's given, not just them, but everybody. The reason so many people are checking is because they see the entire day, 24 hours, as a work day. They think of work as happening always, and so they're always working. Look, we're not going to dispute at all that work is happening always, the global nature of things and so on, the business world never sleeps, blah, 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 great. Speed is a competitive advantage. Making decisions more quickly is a competitive advantage. But so are intelligent decisions a competitive advantage. Happy family life in the long run is a competitive advantage. And creativity that comes from time spent thinking about and doing other things is also a competitive advantage for most organizations.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. Okay, so what does all this mean though?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we're putting a little, it's all good stuff and yet I feel like we're getting away from the recommendation. It means that the first rule of effective calendaring is, if family in fact comes first and everybody says it does, is that you set a daily stop time to go home every day of the week. You and your spouse agree on it every Sunday. In other words, the family's schedule for the week is on the table when you are looking at your upcoming week and you are talking to your spouse about what nights when you'll be home. 6 o'clock this night, 5:30 that night, 7 o'clock that night. Hey, this one night, it's going to be 9 o'clock. We've got a big meeting that's going to start at 6. It may take 2 hours. The guy who runs it is really sloppy. I may not be home till 9 o'clock. And quite frankly, I say that and people are like, wait, this sounds like family is not first. If you, in fact, set a stop time of 5:30 or 6, we'll talk about the benefits of that in just a minute. If you then say one night I'm going to be late, I suspect in 95% of the cases, oh, I'm overstating that. I don't know what the percentage is. But in a lot of the cases, folks, that 9 o'clock night is not a problem. But if there's no stop time any night that week, and then there's a 9 o'clock night, then you have problems at home, in our experience. What this does, having a daily stop time, knowing when you're leaving, essentially creating an appointment at home, is it limits your work time, which is opposed to what most managers do, which is to limit family time by leaving the end of their day open. And what we've learned is, from working with executives and watching managers on videotape at 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 o'clock at night, is leaving the end of the day open has not one, but two, in our opinion, big negative consequences. First, it allows us to slide work into the evening. And because, folks, I'm sorry, I know I'm the only person, we're the only people in the world saying this, but we really can't multitask. Every moment we spend working in the evenings is by definition time not spent with your family. Okay? But the second one, and I think this is a huge plus for this manager tool, starting doing this, of setting an end time, of a going home time, is that it makes us much more efficient during our day. When we leave the end of our day open, we're much more likely to get sloppy about how we spend those last 10 minutes or those last 2 hours at work. We put off stuff that we ought to be doing earlier.
Yeah, to me, this is so, so simple. Just live your statement about family coming first and then put their time, your family's time, on the calendar first.
Yep.
You know, it'll make for a richer family life and it'll make you better at work. That's nothing wrong with that.
Right, exactly.
And you know, the effective executives we know who do this are notably more effective and to boot, they're happier about it.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, no brainer. Right.
What about scheduling time for email?
Yeah, I just want to mention one more point before we go on to email. I can't tell you the number of times I've been working with an executive and he knows or she knows that I'm looking at their schedule and we miss something. They say, I'll get to that at 5 o'clock. And I don't say anything about it, but I make a note of the things that they've said they're going to do at the end of the day, that end of the day bucket. And one of two things happens at the end of the day. They don't do it. And it was important enough to go on their calendar. And if you're making more than $100,000 a year, if it's important enough to go on your calendar, it's not trivial stuff. Assuming you're making reasonably good choices, and that's a whole nother cast about prayer, what your priorities should be, other than family. But it either doesn't get done at all, or it gets done poorly. And what's more, in either of those cases, you have a high likelihood that you carry around frustration that you didn't get it done. You carry around angst that it's not being done, and you carry that angst home to your family. So we recommend a stop time.
Yeah, but, that situation is the equivalent of having a meeting scheduled at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and saying, and missing something earlier in the morning. Say, okay, I'll do that at 3.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll do that at 3. You wouldn't treat a meeting with your boss or a meeting with your directs the same way you now currently treat meetings with your family, which is what your stop time is.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. And as many managers as there are in the world who have made airplane flights for their vacation, who have made it home in time to be a little league coach or for a church or synagogue service or for a family dinner or for a birthday party, as many people as there are who have done that, it makes me feel very comfortable in saying you can't tell us we're wrong. I mean, you can do it. We're just sloppy about things during the day. Our inefficiency during the day hurts our family and makes us ineffective because we waste time during the day that had we used that time wisely, we would have been much more effective focusing on doing the right things.
Yeah. Of course, there's another option, which is a good friend of mine, and you know him as well. We'll go home and simply take care of this by calling a meeting with his family saying, I just want to be upfront with you all. You're my second priority.
Yeah. just be clear.
Okay. Yeah. So what about email? Well, folks, we'll end it there and we'll finish this up next week. Before we go, though, I've gotten a couple questions about our next U.S.-based Effective Manager Conference. Well, I'm pleased to say that we've concluded the negotiations with the hotel, and we're going to have our next U.S. conference in Chicago, March 25th and 26th at the Westin O'Hare. March 25th and 26th in Chicago at the Westin O'Hare. I don't have the registration site open yet, but we will in the next week or two. So, given that we spent some time focusing on calendar management today, this might be a good time to block it out on your calendar on the March 25th and 26th. All right, folks, until next week, so long.